Will you pray with me? Creator God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts lead us into what is becoming. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This past week, I decided I really needed to do something about the desk chair in my office. The chair that I had been using for years was just too big, too uncomfortable, and despite trying to wedge a pillow here or there, I always felt like I was just about ready to slide right out of it. And so this week I decided that the time had come. I rolled that old desk chair out of my office. I went online, and after a couple of clicks, I ordered a new chair. After a few days, a big flat box appeared on my porch at home. The box was surprisingly heavy. They don't deliver chairs all put together, after all, do they? The box was very heavy, in fact, but I did manage to drag it into the living room at home. It took me a couple of days to get the nerve up to launch into the task of assembling that chair. I had to get myself ready for such a task. But when I finally felt up to it, I went into the kitchen and got a small knife and sliced through the overabundance of tape. And then I opened up the flaps of the box, and inside were all sorts of various chair pieces. I carefully unwrapped each piece from the bubble wrap, and I laid it out systematically on the living room floor. Once I had all the pieces laid out, I picked up the little pouch that has all of the bolts and Allen wrenches in it, and I dumped that out very carefully. And then I slipped on my glasses and picked up that all-important instruction sheet. You know the one with the little figure and the arrows and all of the steps, right? I read through it all once, and then I got myself ready to begin. Step one, take the various screws out and line them in order along the steps in which they are going to be used. Make sure the Allen wrench is within reach. Step two, take each wheel out of their casings or out of their wrappings and snap them firmly into the casings on the base of the chair. Step three. And so it went step by step until about a half hour later or so, the pieces on my living room floor had actually become a chair. A perfect replica, in fact, to the chair that I had seen online. I have to admit, I was quite proud of myself. Especially after having sat down in it, and it did, in fact, hold me. And when you push the little lever, it goes up and it goes down, just the way it's supposed to. I felt quite proud of myself, and if you would like to see that chair, it is now in my office. But I have to admit and be honest, that mastery was not my own. All I did really was follow instructions. Last Sunday, we had 17 artists from Common Art arrive at this house. They came as part of a program from Ecclesia Ministry that ministers to people who are homeless or experiencing housing insecurity. The artists came into the doors of this house carrying large boxes, and they brought them downstairs to the vestry. The artists opened up their boxes, but unlike my box, theirs did not contain a white sheet full of step-by-step instructions. Unlike my box, their box did not contain pieces of an exact replica of somebody else's creation. Instead, their boxes contained the most beautiful artistry, crafted by their own hands. And I watched as the artist tenderly lifted each piece out of the box and set it on the table and arranged for a beautiful offering. I had a chance to talk to some of the artists, and I hope that you did too. I paused in front of a table where there was a picture propped up of blues and pinks and yellows. The artist was standing close by, and I said to her, I said, "How do you paint such a beautiful picture?" And she smiled and she said, "I don't know really, it just sort of comes to me." I said, "You have no idea how the painting's going to end when you begin?" And she said, "No, it just sort of happens." And then I wandered over to another artist's table and I asked this artist how he was able to weave such beautiful tapestries. How did he learn how to do it? And he told me that he had never intended to become a weaver. But that 3 years ago, his beloved partner died a terrible death. He said he was so distraught in his grief that his life, well, it began to unravel. He said he then began art therapy at St. Francis House. It was there, he told me, that he began to trust again. And he began to believe that something more was possible for him. He said that when he sits down to create, he has no idea what is waiting in the unknown for him. And he says he's okay with that. In fact, he's good with that. He said his job is just to get started with the materials at hand and let whatever is waiting happen. The disciples had been waiting. They had been following Jesus for a while now. They had been watching his every move and learning from him day in and day out. They had been waiting for this day. When Jesus finally thought that they were ready to go out on their own, two by two. As Jesus gathers them to him to give them their instructions as to what they're supposed to do, I can just feel how excited the disciples must have been. It's a really big deal to go out and practice in the name of your teacher. It's a huge honor to do so. So I'm sure they were fully expecting that he would give them everything they needed. Maybe a pouch with some extra money or some special spices or a really snazzy new tunic or some fancy new sandals, something. I bet they were expecting him to give them step-by-step instructions of what exactly they are supposed to do when they arrive in the house. But that's not what happens, is it? There is no special walking stick, no special sandals, no nothing. The only thing they get is a commandment to take nothing. And in terms of step-by-step instructions of what they're supposed to do so that they can ensure that the ministry that they're engaging in will be an exact replica of his, again, nothing. The only word they get is how they are supposed to enter a house and how they are supposed to leave a house, but not a word about what they're supposed to do when they are in the house. There's always been a part of me when reading this passage that thought that, you know, Jesus has kind of dropped the ball. I mean, I always thought that as a disciple's mentor, he had kind of let them down a bit, not really giving them all they need to be successful in their first solo venture in ministries of their own. But now I'm coming to see otherwise. I'm coming to see that the life of faith is not about following step-by-step instructions and having absolutely everything on hand for whatever the situation presents. Instead, the life of faith is about being present to what is, so that what needs to be can emerge. I'm coming to see that the life of faith is more artistry than it is mastery. Jesus does not give the disciples matching tunics to wear and well-stocked purses to carry. Because by following him, Jesus' intention is not that the disciples will become exact replicas of him, But instead, Jesus' intention is that, like him, they will learn to become what theologian Carter Haywood calls co-creators with God. What if that is true for us today? What if we too are called to be co-creators with the divine in the art of becoming? What if this is what the life of faith is to look like? I think that is what the prophet Isaiah so long ago was getting at. I think that's why the passage this morning begins with the divine bristling with frustration. The people to whom Isaiah are speaking are pretty sure that what they see is what they get. And so they conform to that reality. They go about the motions, but they really don't believe that there is much of a future for them, that things could get any better than how they are now, that the divine could be actually really interested in them. But it turns out, according to Isaiah, the divine does not want people blindly following, bowing their heads like bulrushes or lying in sackcloth and ashes. Is this what you think life with me is supposed to be all about? The divine asks. No, it's not. Not at all. The divine voice is crying out for partners who will join with the divine in breaking down all that is keeping God's good creation and everything within it from flourishing. And when we join with God in this conversational nature of reality, to borrow that phrase from David White, who poet from Ireland, Isaiah says, "Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help and he will say, 'Here I am.'" You know, we don't know exactly what happened when the disciples that Jesus sends out in pairs entered the houses of those who received them. We're not told the details of what happened around the kitchen tables and at the hearths. We don't know what happened exactly, but we do know that something powerfully generative must have happened between the disciples and those they encountered in the divine. For we are told that demons were cast out and many who were sick were cured. Something powerful happened in that place of encounter, for wholeness was restored and healing happened. Or to borrow the words from Isaiah, the light that was waiting to break forth and the healing that wanted to spring up did break forth and did spring up in the encounters the disciples had. Wholeness was restored and healing happened. I believe with every fiber of my being that wholeness can be restored and that healing can happen in our time as well. I believe that the divine is craving co-creative partners, yearning for a partnership with us right now. And what could that look like? Well, if the biblical witness is to believed, and I think it is, then it may look very different than what we would expect it to look like. It may look like taking nothing. It may look like letting go of our agenda for how things are supposed to be, or even more importantly, for how others are supposed to be. It may mean letting go of trying to make others into some version of ourselves, a replica of what we think is right. It may mean that instead of squaring off as winners and losers, right and wrong, good and bad, we are instead being called to show up with a willingness to engage. We may be instead being called to show up as partners, to stand shoulder to shoulder, opening our hearts to each other and to the divine, as together we create a place of encounter where healing and wholeness can happen. So yes, when a chair needs to be assembled, let's be sure to pick up the instruction sheet and follow it carefully, step by step. Let us make it into the chair that we know it ought to be. But when we are to join with the divine in calling forth healing and wholeness, when we are to set about being church and doing the good work of church, let us take nothing. Let us take nothing so that, like Jesus and the disciples after him, we may be freed to take up and show up in our place as co-creators with the divine presence, so that we may be co-creators with the divine presence in the world-healing, life-giving, joyful artistry of becoming. May it be so.